Peace in Turmoil, from Selected Psalms. This exposition of Psalm 4 by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, October the 3rd, 2018.
You've heard the expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You're familiar with that? And, of course, you know that's a lie. Yes, sticks and stones do break bones. They can hurt us, but it eventually heals in a few weeks. Words, however, can wound for a lifetime. So there's that part of me that says, I wish I could meet the person who came up with that expression, and I'd like to meet him with a pocket full of rocks and a big stick. But the truth is, all of us, from time to time, have to deal with words that are hurtful. Whether it's through office politics, or whether you get caught up in a family squabble, or whether you're just an innocent bystander that gets struck by a stray accusation. At some time in your life, if you've lived any time at all, you've had to deal with unjust criticism. You had to deal with charges leveled against you that just aren't true. So the question is, how do we deal with it? How do we, as the people of God, respond? Because we're not immune. We don't get a free pass. We live in a fallen world, and in a fallen world, bad, ugly, nasty things happen. So when it happens in our lives, how are we to respond? How do we respond to the turmoil of personal attack? We turn again to the Psalms. Tonight we're going to look at Psalm 4. It's just 8 verses. It's another of the Psalms of David. It's sometimes referred to as an evening psalm. And that's appropriate because as you read through it, you'll recognize, yeah, there are some days I need to read this at the end of the day. It's the fitting in to the kind of day I've had. God's grace, God's mercy, God's strength in the midst of turmoil. Psalm 3, we have the context. We know what was happening when David wrote it. We don't have that for Psalm 4. We don't know. But it does appear that he is suffering as an innocent victim. And you know what I mean by innocent. I don't mean he didn't ever do anything wrong and all of that. I mean innocent in the sense he isn't to blame for this one. He isn't at fault this time. None of us are truly innocent because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all the fallen sons and daughters of Adam, but we're talking about relative innocence. We're talking about, I didn't do anything to bring this upon me. This isn't the fruit of my action. This is the fruit of someone else's choice. And how do I respond to these circumstances? How do I respond when I'm unjustly accused or when I'm slandered or when I'm the victim of attack? Look with me, beginning at verse 1 of Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You've given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry, do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices. Put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You've put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. David is a victim. David has been attacked. David has been slandered. How do we respond? As we work our way through, we understand that the righteous find a pathway to peace, even in the darkest, or the darkness of inner turmoil. Even when things are rotten, even when we are tossed about, we can find a way to peace. How do we find it? That's what this psalm reveals for us. What happens when you fall victim to attack? The first instinct is to fight, to defend yourself, to defend your honor. The problem is those attacks don't go away. And after a while, we grow weary of defending ourselves. And when that happens, we turn inward. And we just dwell on it. And before long, our pity party becomes a pity extravaganza. It just gets worse. It gets huge. It's all blown out of proportion. So how do I deal with it? How do I deal with it so it doesn't get to that point? Three things I want us to note in the text as we work our way through it. And understand here at the beginning, I'm not giving you a formula. This isn't a formula that here's three steps to guarantee success. It's not what I intend at all. These are principles. These are principles that as I generally follow this, this is the general outcome. It's not magic. It's not an incantation. It's not a matter that if you follow the steps, if you do the spell properly, it'll always result. But it is a basic principle of how do I find my way out? How do I come out of the darkness of this inner turmoil to the light of God's love and mercy, His grace? First, in verse 1, the righteous flee to God for comfort. That needs to be our initial reaction. I said earlier that the initial reaction when I'm attacked is to defend. I want to defend myself. I want to defend my honor. I want to fight back. Well, we have to train ourselves as the people of God to say, no, my first response is to turn to the Lord. Not as a last resort, but as a first resort, as the initial response, as I come under attack, is I turn to the Lord. And that's exactly what we see David doing in this psalm. Answer me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me. Hear my prayer. This is an impassioned plea. David cries out to God in the midst of his struggle. And he says, answer me when I call. Now, another interesting thing is, if you go and study the language and you look carefully at it and you go and look at the syntax of the sentence and all of that, you're going to find that these are imperatives. These are commands. That's kind of arrogant, isn't it? Lord, you will answer me. You need to hear David's pain. You need to hear his desperation. You need to hear his panic. This is a hard time. This is a difficult time. He is in great pain. It's not physical. This is an occasion where he's not being physically threatened, and they're not like in Psalm 3 when his son's trying to kill him. It's not that context. This is an emotional struggle. Hurtful things, lies, and that's implied from what we're going to read in a minute. Lies have been spoken. How long will you go after these lies? How long will you hang on to these lies? So his response is to turn to the Lord and plead with the Lord to answer. In fact, there are four imperatives. Answer me, give me relief, be merciful, hear my prayer. All of that's in the imperative. It is a desperate cry from a hurting man. It's not the most eloquent prayer you'll read, but it's real. And again, one of the things that draws me to the Psalms is they're real. It's the honest expression of real men, of real women, of real people who are in the midst of real struggle. It's not antiseptic. It isn't all neat and tied up and put up on a shelf and something nice and pretty to look at. These are people in the midst of real pain who are crying out and seeking the Lord's deliverance. And that's where the comfort comes. That's why the church has for centuries turned to the Psalms for encouragement, because in the midst of trial, in the midst of struggle, I hear other people of God crying out. And they are heard. God responds to them. And it's an encouragement to me that God still hears and God still responds. And he addresses his prayer to the God of my righteousness, the God who is righteous. does that mean? The God who is right, the God who does the right thing, the God who is faithful, the God who is consistent. That is the God he cries out. Again, it's not God generic. He isn't crying out to the higher power that may be out there somewhere. He is talking to the covenant God who is righteous. He has revealed himself as righteous and holy and trustworthy and faithful and consistent. That's the God he's appealing to. And so in his pain, he is calling out to the God whom he acknowledges as righteous, as just, as fair. So the first principle, in the midst of turmoil, we go to God. Now, I want you to think for a minute. When you are in turmoil, when bad, awful, hurtful things, slanderous things are said about you, who do you turn to? Do you turn to a friend and complain? Do you turn to a friend and seek sympathy and understanding? Or do you start a little slander campaign of your own? He's only saying that because she only did that because, and I'm able to drop a few little slanderous hints in response, out of my pain, out of my hurt. Well, that might make me feel good for a moment, but it'll only lead to further pain because it's not a godly response. The godly response is to turn to the Lord, because He ultimately is our only help in time of trouble. We run to the arms of our Heavenly Father. He alone can soothe our hurt. He alone can remove the sting of bitter rebuke. When David came, he came honestly. That's the language of the first verse. He's desperate. And his language clearly reveals that. He is hurt. His language affirms that. He's crying out. He's also aware of his own sin. That's why he says, "Lord, be merciful." That's why he asks the Lord to be gracious. Because he does not come to the Lord expecting that God owes it to him. He's fully aware of his own failings. He's fully aware of his own sin. He's fully aware of his own unworthiness. Yes, he's desperate. And yes, he believes God will hear and God will respond. But he comes to him on the basis of God's righteousness. God will do what is right. And that God is merciful. That God is gracious. That God is loving. Again, it's not a leap into the dark. It is not a leap of faith in that I have no idea what's out there. I'm just going to blindly trust that. I am coming to and trusting in a God who has made himself known, who has revealed himself, and I know who he is on the basis of his word and on the basis of past experience with him, and that is the God in whom I trust. We turn to the Lord. We come seeking relief, but we come seeking that relief by the mercy and by the grace of God. So the righteous flee to Christ for comfort. That's the first step. Second, in verse 2 down through verse 5, the righteous remind themselves of the great truths of the gospel. David, in essence, in verse 2 through 5, is preaching the gospel. He is reminding himself of some great fundamental truths. Now, it's an interesting section because keep in mind it is a prayer. But look at the language. David is praying. So, who is David talking to? It's a prayer. He's talking to the Lord. He's talking to God. But he also is addressing his enemies and himself. He's crying out to the Lord, but he's also informing himself about some important things. Oh men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? Slanderous things are being said. Dishonest things, untruthful things. How long will you love vain words, empty words, useless words, and seek after lies? This isn't true. How long are you going to hang on to these things? How long are you going to pursue this? Verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him. One commentator makes the statement on dealing with this psalm. He says that in this section, David is speaking to his enemies, but he's not addressing them. That's a good distinction. He's speaking to his enemies, but he's not addressing them. They aren't the ones he's talking to. He's talking to the Lord, but he's speaking to himself as well. He's reminding himself of these great truths. They may pursue lies. They may hang on to shameful things. They may be determined to destroy him. But here's what David knows. The Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord has consecrated unto himself. The Lord has made holy unto himself. He has set apart for his own good and for his own glory the godly, those who trust him. Again, godly, not sinless, but godly in the scriptural context, that those who trust the Lord, those who trust in God's provision, those who give themselves to the truth of the gospel. Then look at verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. What is that all about? Is he still talking to his enemies there? Or is he talking to himself? Is David saying to himself, you know, you just need to stop and think. You need to be silent. In other words, you need to shut up and consider these truths and then give yourself to the Lord. Verse 5, sacrifice unto the Lord. I think a case could be made that that's what he's doing. But I also think he is still speaking to his enemies and he's calling on them to repent. He's calling on them to turn from their wickedness and trust in the Lord. As he reminds himself that God sets apart for himself and for his own glory the godly ones, and he hears them when they call out to him. Be angry, do not sin. We see that same expression in Ephesians 4:26, in your anger do not sin. So is David saying, deal with this problem in the anger stage? Or is he saying something else? The word can mean, rather than anger, it can mean tremble, which is the translation of the New American Standard. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. So in that sense, I think maybe that David is saying, abandon your evil, wicked plots because God is against you. Stand in awe of Him and tremble. David is reminding himself of God's great provision, of God's presence, of God's promises, and he is assured that God will overcome. He is assured that the righteous will find safety and peace and comfort in the Lord. Principle number one, go to God. Principle number two, speak the great truths of the gospel to yourself. Who needs the gospel? The obvious answer is lost people need the gospel. But saved people need the gospel too. We don't get over the gospel. It's not a matter of, well, you know, when I was a lost man, I needed the gospel, and I got the gospel, and once I got the gospel, I leave the gospel and I go on to the deep things of God. No, I grow deeper and deeper in the gospel, in the wonder of the gospel, in the greatness of what all that means. Because the gospel is the wonder of what God has accomplished for us in the person of the Lord Jesus, to call us from death to life, to make us His children forever, and to lavish His grace upon us. And for all eternity, we'll be going deeper and deeper into the gospel. We don't outgrow it. We don't leave it behind. So David is practicing something I think we all need to practice more, which he's preaching the gospel to himself. He is reminding himself of the wonder, of the greatness, of the glory of the gospel. The best way to respond to your enemies is for you to be reminded of the great truths of the gospel that have been already applied to you. So, what is the result of going to God and speaking the gospel? That brings us to the third thing in verse 6 through 8. The righteous find peace even in the midst of turmoil. There are many who say, "Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." David is speaking to his enemies. Are they going to follow his advice? Probably not. Though they won't trust in God, David's going to. Though they won't heed the advice, David certainly will. And something happened over the course of David's praying. His enemies didn't change, but he did. That's the glory and the wonder of it all. Prayer changes things. First and foremost, it changes us. Note the difference. Look at verse 1. "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You've given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Hear the panic of verse 1. And then just 8 verses later, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Panic in verse 1 is replaced with peace in verse 8. Because David has been assured of God's favor in verse 6. Because God has filled him with joy in verse 7. More joy than the others, his enemies, had ever given him with all of their wine and all of their grain when it was in abundance. And he finds peace. "I will lie down and I will sleep." Pictures that of rest and comfort and ease. It's a big change. In just a few verses. It's a big change in a short period of time. As David took his eyes off of his trouble, off of his enemies, and put his focus on God his deliverer, God his Savior. And he put his faith and trust in Him. So the next time you get knocked off your feet by a word, go to the Lord, speak the gospel, and find His peace that passes understanding.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.